And we're here on the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WGR Radio. Mike O'Hara, Lions aficionado, talking Lions. Hello, Mike.
Lions football?
Well, we're going to talk. We're getting close to actual pads and feet on the field, but we are talking about the second biggest day in Detroit Lions history per year. Used to be the first biggest day in Detroit Lions history. That's the NFL draft. That used to be everything to everyone, but now maybe it's just me. But when your team is good, it's like secondary. You want it, but it's not the necessary thing you're looking forward to with the team.
Oh, I think part of that is because you get a lower pick. In other words, you're not picking third or fourth or fifth and getting a Penny Sewell or somebody like that. You're getting the 27th pick, 28th pick, and it's different. It doesn't have quite the You know, it's important that you're winning. Don't get me wrong, but it takes a little bit of shine off the draft.
Yeah, but even in the great 9 and 7 years, it used to be the benchmark. You know, when you were drafting 20th or 21st, people still have more excitement to me than this year. To me this year, and maybe it's the way they exited the playoffs last year, being 15-2 and then losing the first game they played, that there's a little shine off the draft, and I just feel that I'm not saying they're disappointed in Brad Holmes, who is the GM, but I just think that he put it like this. He doesn't get the royal knight treatment if he came in to a restaurant now. He'll get the good table, but, you know, he's not going to get comped the free drinks. That's just the way the fans are now. You know, it's like, show us again that you guys are not a fraud. And I think that's coming into this draft season what it was. And plus, last year's draft was in Detroit. It was a bigger thing. I just felt it was like we're supplementing a team instead of we're going out looking for a star.
That could be right. Was the draft in Detroit better than the one in Green Bay?
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, we're not even talking about oh, hell yeah. You know. Plus, you know how I feel about Green Bay, and all the people that listen to this podcast know how I feel about Green Bay. I think your team sucks, and I don't like you. So let me beat around the bush with that. But anyway.
Somebody move the bush.
Right, move the bush. But
get my bush out of the way.
Yeah, you know, I the only thing that was disappointing this whole weekend to me was it didn't rain every day. I would have really been happy then. So anyway, let's get to the get down. Going into this draft, to everybody in the Metro Detroit area and probably half of Canada, believe the Lions' biggest need was a defensive end. Opposite of Aiden Hutchinson. Is that fair to say, Mike?
I'd say that's fair to say, yeah.
And offensive line to me, because you didn't bring back Zeitler and, you know, you could use, and the guys are getting a little older now. So offensive line to me was the second biggest need, particularly a guard.
Let me think. Be quiet on this one because I didn't think you'd say this. No, I'll stick with the offensive line.
Okay. Now, as we look through the picks, the Lions went and got a defensive lineman on the first round and an offensive guard or offensive lineman on the second round. So needs were looked at, needs were met, kind of. People are upset because Mel Kiper or one of the 5,000 mock drafts you saw didn't rate Tyleek Williams as a first rounder. He was rated somewhere in the second round. But at 28, to me, and who was on the board, I thought it was a good pick. I remember him playing Michigan. I've watched Ohio State over the year. They won a national championship. I remember him over the year because he played, you know, I think he played all 4 years. I know he played as a true freshman. And I thought it was a good pick, Mike. I mean, it may not have been an end, but I thought it was a good, solid pick, especially with McNeil not being back early in the season.
No, I didn't see anything wrong with it. I mean, honestly, I didn't know an awful lot about him, and I still can't say that I'm an authority on Tyreek Williams. But I don't think anything you can do across the line of scrimmage, offense and defense, I think is hard to argue with any of it, because that's the guts of your team.
Exactly.
Stopping them and opening holes so your guys can run through them to protect the quarterback.
You know when I should have known this would have been the pick, and I didn't predict this, so don't get me into saying that I predicted this. Dan Campbell was interviewed at the coach's breakfast at the owners' meeting.
Right.
And he said this quote. Now, at the time, it rang in my ear, but I didn't, like, write it down or tape it and replay it. But he said, we're going to have a defense. They're talking about the new defense with Kelvin, you know, right, being the new defensive coordinator. And he was saying, we're going to stop the run. That's not even a question. That's what we do. And then then he went into the pass rush thing. But he said, we are going to stop the run. That's not even a question. That's what we do. I should have known right then that, to me, if it was between an end and a defensive end and a tackle that was a run-stopping tackle that also rushed the passer a little bit, he would take the tackle because that is, to him, more important than that end pass rusher. He wants to stop that run. So,
well, I think, as you say, it's more important, but I think that depends a little bit on what else you have.
Yeah, it depends on what you have, but you okay. You know,
a pass rusher is really, really important, and I think you have to have something else there. Did you say, okay, no, we're going to take the tackle?
Yeah, if you don't have a pass rusher, but you already have one of the five or six best pass rushers in the league,
right?
You want one for the other side, true enough. But you know, after you got that guy, if you put a guy next to him like Akeem McNeil has been, or if you put a guy like I think this Talik Williams is going to be, because I'm going to talk about that in a minute, you're going to get that fourth guy a lot of one-on-ones. It doesn't have to be the greatest, you know, the top 10 pass rusher in the league to be effective for you, because whoever's on that side is going to get a lot of one-on-one action.
Right, and if Tyreek Williams is what they think he is or hope he is or whatever, he's going to get some shots at it. He really is.
Yeah. This goes back to – this is, to me, another one of those sins of the father thing. They had a defensive tackle opening here.
Yeah.
Back when Jeff Okuda – and you got to give my man – Mr. Our former coach, Matt Patricia, a little credit if it's true what they said at the time, that he wanted Derrick Brown, who ended up going to Carolina, to D-tackle instead of Jeff Okuda.
Right.
And you didn't take a tackle then, which would be one of your stars of your team now if you would have done it. You took a guy that was off your team in 3.5 years or 4 years, whatever how long he was on there. That's just now you have to go draft another tackle. So I'm just saying – one mistake years ago compounds the next year's coming out. So that's why you can't miss on top five picks. You cannot miss.
Well, it happens, though.
It happens, but you cannot miss. So anyway, Talik Williams, now I'm going to tell you another thing, too. I've been on YouTube and TikTok and all the stuff since he drafted. I've seen a lot of his videos. You guys are going to laugh at this, but I know there's talent evaluators out there that they spend lots of money on to hire and to go film and scout talent. I got a simple way where I count my defensive line talent. I think I told you this yesterday.
You're not, yes, you did. I'm begging you, please don't.
No, I got to say it.
That.
Watch.
No.
Watch them dance. No, I know
actually,
it sounds silly.
Listen, watch them
dance. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you see 300-pound guys with good feet, good balance, good dancing, they always become good players. I say they're going to be the Hall of Famer. They always come. I remember, and when I started doing this was back when Warren Sapp was coming in.
Oh, my God.
I saw a video of Warren Sapp dancing, and then he was doing that ladder tiptoe thing when he was training.
Yeah.
And I said, this guy for 300-something pounds has feet like a ballerina. Akeem McNeil had feet. I saw him play baseball, and I saw him dance. He has feet like a ballerina. This kid, Talik Williams, go look at his videos and him dancing in these videos he's done over the weekend. Not only his feet big, because he's like has his shoes off when he's doing these videos, but he has great feet. And to me, Mike, that is the first sign of a big lineman. If you got great feet, that's half the battle.
Well, he certainly got the build to be a defensive tackle. He's 6'3", which is not exactly huge or tall, and 333 pounds. And this is the guy who's built low to the ground.
Right. So anyway, we got a defensive tackle off, however you want to call it. You got help on the line. They got a deep line. Next week or whatever, I'm going to give you this whole lineup of how many guys they have on the defensive line. There are going to be some guys cut that are good players. They're very deep. you may not think they have the defensive end yet, but they're very deep, and that's if they don't even bring back Za'Darius Smith. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Second rounder was a lot of people's favorite. A lot of people said this was their favorite player. Tate Ratledge from Georgia, 4-year starter at offensive guard, All-American a couple of years in a row, mullet-wearing, mean dirtbag, as he calls himself, 6'6", big guy. Mike, the perfect lineman for Hank Fraley.
Yep, yep. Yeah, Hank Fraley, the Detroit Lions offensive line coach.
Yeah, and he
one of the best.
Yeah, one of the best. I think you put him right in the right guard and don't look back for 8 years. I think you move him right in there. I don't know what they're going to do because you got a couple of guys back. But he should start. I don't know if it's going to be immediately like the first exhibition game, first practice, but he should start. He's that good. And you plug the hole with a young player, and it's good. So you replace Zeitler with him. We move on.
Right.
Third pick
and
Zeitler,
and Zeitler's still in the game.
Yeah, in the Titans. Like I said, he was limping all. He didn't even play the last game we played. Now, I think you got the last bit of squeeze out of that limit. You got a good year out of him, but you know you were tempting fate. So you got him, and he's in Tennessee now. Good luck. The controversial pick this year, third pick, they moved up like 30 spots to grab this guy. They gave up 2 third rounders next year, plus some parts to change this year. Isaac Tesla, and it's Slaw, not Tesla, Tesla from Arkansas, who's originally from Michigan, went to Hillsdale, transferred to Arkansas, played at the Silver Dome, at the Ford Field in the high school championships. Fast, big, 6'4 receiver, fast as hell. Good player. Doesn't have big stats, but like Brad Holmes said when he saw him, doesn't drop anything, catches it with his hands, and he's a hell of a blocker.
This is the kid from Arkansas,
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, soft, smooth hands.
And
that's what
what you need him for now is he's going to be backing up Tim Patrick this year, probably play a little backup of St. Brown in the slot. You can bring him in slow. You don't need him this year to be a 100, a Puka Nacua, come in with a 1,500-yard season. But you just want to bring him in and get him acclimated and get him some run. And he's your fourth or fifth receiver this year, and I'm fine with that.
Right.
So, any questions on him?
Tesla, what a name, eh?
Tesla. Slaw.
I kind of wondered why the president walked in with him. But
that's right. I wonder why he didn't get scratched up if he was out on the street, the way they scratched up Teslas these days. The fifth round pick, they didn't have a four because they traded up. Miles Frazier, guard from LSU. Originally, I looked on a lot of sheets and a lot of mocks and whatever. He was a top 100 player. They got him at 171. Yeah. Guard, he played I think last year they said no sacks on the quarterback and no pressures on the quarterback, or very few. He started at guard. He started at tackle. I guess he came from Florida. He went to school out there first, Florida A&M, Florida A&U, one of those schools. And he played right tackle there. He's played right tackle at LSU. He's played guard mostly. You can move him around. So very versatile player. Could compete for a starting job. They said he's mean and he's big. I'm fine with it.
No, I am too. But look, I think I said this already earlier today. When they started adding offensive linemen, to me, more the merrier. You can't
get enough
without them.
D-backs and offensive linemen, you can't get enough.
Absolutely.
Can't get enough.
The way cornerbacks get injured, and that's, you've got to have, why do you have like 6, 8, 10 of those guys on the sideline ready to go in? Because you're going to need them.
Yep, you're going to need them. Then they move down to the sixth round. My prediction fan favorite, I don't know how much he's going to play, Edge Ahmed Hassanin from Boise State. First Egyptian-born player in the National Football League. High motor guy. If you listen to him after the they picked him and they had the little vote call with him, he said he will die on the field for Dan Campbell. That's how impressed he was. I will die on the field for Dan Campbell. And
telling you not to stand next to me.
Yeah, okay. But hey, he looks impressive. He's a little raw, but he's a willing guy, pass rusher. Edge, everybody cry for an edge. He's probably a developmental guy, but if he can get you, you know, 3 or 4 sacks this year, that's all you can ask out of a 6-round pick and give you some pass rush. His size is equivalent to like, I lost the name of the guy. Our 2nd-round pick from Kentucky a few years ago. Josh Pascal. They're comparable in size. Pascal may have a little more twitch, but this guy's a little, you know, more driven. He's very, you know, driven guy. Very on the field. He's a very, you know, go get it and take charge guy. If you saw him at the combine, he's going back and forth with the offensive line coach defensive line coach in a good way about the drills. He was first in the drills and he was, you know, let's get it going. He was a take charge guy. Be fun to get him in the camp.
Well, good. Yeah, good. It sounds like they got a bargain.
Then they had 2 7th-round players to pick. Both Georgia players. This is 3 Georgia players for this draft. They took a safety, Dan Jackson, who was a favorite on the Georgia team, and then they took wide receiver Dominique Lovett, who was also on the Georgia team. You've seen him, Georgia, because Georgia's been one of the best teams in football, in college football, the last 3 or 4 years. These guys were major contributors on that team. Dan Jackson, to me, reminds me of like a Doug Plank type, if you remember the old Bears safety. Stick his head in there and hit. He's a hitter. Not the biggest of guys, but he sticks his head in there. So that's interesting. Dominique Lovett, he's going to have a hard time making the squad. He's a wide receiver, but, you know, maybe he'll get some return in. Maybe he's getting a slot. You know, you never know. So those are 2 guys that will be coming into camp. So that's your Lions draft class, Mr. Mike.
I'm going to have to – can I take a break?
To me, it was a solid draft class. No, you know, no offensive big star because nobody knew who Tesla was or what he can do, Tesla.
Tesla.
I just think it's a solid class. I think when you got a good team like the Lions have and you're trying to, you know, you got a solid house and you're just trying to paint the gutters. You're trying to paint the windows. You know, you're trying to paint the trimming. And that's what I think this class does. It reinforces what you had and it paints your trimming to make a nice looking house.
Look, if you have guys up and down the list there, and they can fill a role for their rookie season and build from that, then you've got something. And, and it looks like they've got the beginning of that.
Yeah, I always expect the biggest improvement to be your 2nd-year guys.
Probably, yeah.
You know, like I expect Ray Shaw to make a big jump. I expect Terrion Arnold to establish himself this year. Manu, I expect to get on the field and in pads this year. Vaki, I expect more than just, you know, special teams from him this year. So those guys from last year are the ones I expect to move up this year. To me, your 1st-rounders, besides maybe the 1st-round pick and maybe the 2nd, I just expect those guys to, you know, help you intermediately. So,
well, that shows you how fortunate they were to get Amon-Ra St. Brown. 4th-round draft.
Oh, yeah. When you get one of those guys, man, that makes your draft. You know, that
absolutely.
When you get all pro in the 4th round, that makes your draft, man. And, right. But the funny part about it, you got a 4th-round pick that's an all pro. And what's even better is he's still not the best player you took in that draft. That makes your draft even more better.
Well, I'm missing something here.
Penei Sewell was still the best player in the draft. Yeah, he's still the best player. Even though Amon St. Brown is great. And a Pro Bowler, you know, he still wasn't your best player. So if your best player is your 4th-rounder and your 2nd, and he's a Pro Bowler, then you got a good thing going. You got 2 Pro Bowlers out of that draft, you know.
Right.
And I'm trying to think who else was in that draft. Who was the 2nd-round pick? Whoever it was, I don't think they made a Pro Bowl. But you got – oh, no, that was the next year. So you got 2 Pro Bowlers in the first draft. Can't beat it. So I think – Anzarike was the 2nd-round pick, and he got hurt. Decent player. He's helped you, though. Decent player. He's helped you. And Kirby Joseph was in that 1st draft, right?
I think he was in the second draft.
I got to go back and look. But if Kirby Joseph was in that same draft, then damn, that's a good draft. I got to go back and look at that because I
think he was a 3-year player.
This was Kirby's fourth year because right, he was the youth because you you just were able to sign him this year, right?
Right.
Well, let me see. So anyway,
we're talking about signing. What about J-Mo? What do we do with?
Well, he said he was never. He don't know where that came from, and he was never had him up for grabs.
Right.
So you just got to take his word for it. I mean, you know,
right.
I still think the future of J-Mo is not going to be in Detroit because I don't see how you can afford $230 million wide receivers. I just don't know how you're going to be able to do it and field a team.
Well, the price of it, that stuff is going up, and the team, you know, teams all 32 got to, you know, battle with the same problem, same.
Yeah, but everybody doesn't have $30 million receivers, and those teams that don't have them are going to be the ones that are going to be, you know, going to be the ones that are going to offer him that money. There's nothing you can do about it.
I think they'll find a way. I do.
Okay.
I think they'll find a way. I think we'll see at least two more years of J-Mo. At least two.
Oh, yeah, you're going to get this year and next year because they renewed his fifth-year option. But I'm talking about after that. I'm talking about after that. So. All right, well, that's the draft wrap-up. They're going to have a rookie minicamp coming up this week, and I will be out there, so we will report next week on that. Mike, what do you give the Lions, if you want to give a grade, a good or bad, what are your thoughts on this draft class before we go?
A C plus, B minus, something like that. I didn't think it was flashy, but it was good. And I'll take good over flashy.
Okay, and before I give a grade, I'm just saying that giving grades is stupid, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's just because you never know until after they played an actual game.
Thank you for that. Okay, I'm glad I participated.
Well, I'm just going by positions needed to a drafted player, and then they filled every position that they are light at and were, you know, before the draft, and they have what are your needs. They took somebody for every one of those needs before the draft. So, to me, that's a B. And depending on how they play, it goes up or down. But they a B on addressing the needs. So there you go. I gave them good.
All right, sounds good to me.
All right. All right, Mike, we'll do it again next week. We'll talk more Lions. This football season's coming. The schedule will be coming out on May 12th. And we'll see who the Lions play and see what's going on. Oh, before we go, we got to ask you. Just give me a thumbnail on the Shedeur Sanders stuff because I know people are demanding your opinion on it.
I think he brought it on himself. I mean, I believe that. Now, some of it was brought on him, but I think he caused his own grief.
I agree with that, and I agree that I think he was a good talent, not a great talent, but he acted right. Like he was a great talent, and his father didn't help him at all because the narcissist that Deion Sanders is, he couldn't look past his own self to realize what he was doing to his son, and now his son's going to have to pay the price for it. But you know what? If you want to be a football player, you want to be a star, where you're about to find out because you're going in to battle five other quarterbacks in Cleveland, and we'll see if you want it.
Right.
If you're that good and you legendary, you got the legendary room you put up and all this, you driving Bentleys to class and college or whatever, now you got to go to work because all that little stardom is going to be taken away from you. If you're not playing football because you built the whole thing on you being a star, then you better start being one on the field.
Right.
So we'll see. We'll see how it works. All right, Michael Harris, that's it. The K&M Podcast. Join us again next week.